Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll speak to the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network, and we'll learn about programs and services available from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Congratulations to U.S. Bank, who was recently recognized as Minnesota's newest Yellow Ribbon Company. While I am proud of each and every Yellow Ribbon Company's support for military service members and their families, U.S. Bank is doing a couple of things that truly make them stand out. They know the value of hiring today's military veteran leaders. To that end, they've established two director-level positions charged with making U.S. Bank a place veterans want to work. They have created a new portal on their career website just for veteran job seekers. From now on, veteran applications will not be lost in the mix. They'll go directly to the desk of their new veteran recruiter. They have also brought on a leader to oversee all of their veteran initiatives, both inside and outside of the company. They have a strong military family Yellow Ribbon Steering Committee within U.S. Bank, and they are now an active voice on the Yellow Ribbon Network of Minneapolis. One of their biggest goals is to identify their employees who are military service members and family members so that they will be able to support them during deployments. They have even created a policy to give paid vacation to immediate family members to attend a welcome home or deployment ceremony. Today, I challenge those Minnesota corporations who haven't yet looked at the value in hiring and supporting today's veterans as employees. And congratulations again to U.S. Bank on being recognized by the Governor's Yellow Ribbon Recognition Program. Thanks for supporting military families.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. With the holidays behind us, we're reflecting on some amazing things one Yellow Ribbon community was able to pull off for our troops. And joining us now to tell us about some of those things is Donna Smith Stafford, the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network co-chair. Donna, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about how long has Woodbury been a Yellow Ribbon community?
That also is my pleasure to be able to talk about our Yellow Ribbon Network. The first meeting of the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network was held in September 2009. So we're a fairly young Yellow Ribbon city. It was a group of people that my father-in-law, the late Dick Stafford, had put together to honor his brother who was killed in Korea, and wanted to honor all of the existing military members and their families, and so pursued with a group of people to get Woodbury designated as a Yellow Ribbon City. He also continued his work to assure that Washington County would be designated as a Yellow Ribbon County. I was able to go back in some of the history early on, and the very first call that the Yellow Ribbon Network in Woodbury received was from a mom, a lady whose husband was deployed to Afghanistan, and she needed the swing set moved for her daughter. So we responded to that call within an hour, and the swing set was disassembled, moved, and reassembled for her daughter the next day.
My goodness, what took you so long?
Exactly.
Donna, for our listeners that don't have the advantage of living in a Yellow Ribbon community, quickly, can you tell us a little bit about the process? You formed your father-in-law, got some people in Woodbury together, and you had to do an action plan.
We have, it was a few people that came together, were designated as a Yellow Ribbon city, and then volunteers were sought from several areas of the community, and it has just mushroomed and blossomed in the past 2 years. It includes individuals just wanting to serve, military members and families. We have a faith-based community group, so we can reach into all the churches in Woodbury to the individuals that want to help. Our local American Legion, Post 501, the VFW, the Woodbury Chamber of Commerce, the Woodbury Community Foundation. It has just blossomed. So whatever services we need, we have people in place within our community to service the families.
And Donna, how do you connect with the military families in the Woodbury area?
What we do is we have a website that they can go to, and there are requests if they need help or if they want to volunteer. Additionally, they can contact anyone within the Yellow Ribbon Network. And then what we do is we have a core group of about a half a dozen people that we put out what we call a fast action support team request. FAST then is determined what is the request that the family member is making, what is needed. We put it out and there's a response. We generally will have a response within an hour or two and are able to accomplish the work that needs to be done by that family member, whether it be cutting the grass, shoveling the snow, we fix flat tires, we take kids to soccer, we cook meals, we relocate people that need to move. Whatever they need, we're trying to make it happen.
We're speaking with Donna Smith Stafford, the co-chair of the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network, on Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Donna, you were telling me earlier that you've got one important member. You've got a lot of important members in the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network, but you've got one that answers the phones. And how does that work?
That one would be me that generally answers the phone. And then I have an enormous network of people that I can tap into to make contact with the member's family who may need some work done. The basically founding member, if you will, of our fast action support team is John Martin. And John, originally in the first year of the Yellow Ribbon Network, was doing all of the repairs, cleaning leaves out of gutters, repairing flat tires. He was doing it all himself. We have now been able to assemble a team that John can reach out to assist him with helping our military families.
Donna, so now you and your husband are co-chairs of the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network.
My husband, Bruce, and I, yes, have stepped up after the passing of my father-in-law, Bruce's dad, to assure that the work within the community continues.
And once again, the military families are proud families, and they don't always reach out and ask for help. How have you been able to find them, and how have you been able to make sure they know that you're there to help if they need it?
We have several kind of confidential areas that we deal with. One of the things that is paramount for us is maintaining the privacy and the confidentiality of all the names. We will never release names, addresses, anything with any of the military families that have requested help. Oftentimes we will get requests from other people. My neighbor or one of my church members or one of the business people have heard that someone has a family member that was just deployed. One of us within the Yellow Ribbon Network will reach out to them to let them know we are here. Additionally, what we are doing is we will have a group from Woodbury that's going to be deployed to Afghanistan in March or April. We're reaching out to those family members now so that those warriors know that their families are going to be taken care of while they're gone.
Great work. Donna, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about socks for troops. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons, and I've been talking to Donna Smith Stafford, who is the co-chair of the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network. And joining us now is Patty DeLander, owner of the Woodbury Pack and Mall. Patty, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Patty, can you explain to me what is Socks for Troops?
Well, this was a campaign that we started the beginning of December, after reading Ruben Rosario's article on the Hansen family, third generation military family, and the youngest of the family, the youngest generation, Josh, who's just 22, serving over in Afghanistan, home on leave, was interviewed and made kind of a plea for some things that were needed, some things that we may take for granted. And we kind of latched onto socks, and that's something we could do here at the Christmas season. So we started a Socks for Troops campaign, and it snowballed, and the community really dove in, and 833 pairs of socks, and 300 pounds later, we were able to deliver to Josh's unit over in Afghanistan.
Now, Patty, when that idea came to you, did you already know Donna, or were the two of you working together through
No.
the Yellow Ribbon program? How did that come about?
No, actually, we were a small business here in Woodbury, and we have a large group of regular customers, and we happened to have a gentleman stop in and ask about what are the socks being collected for. And he happened to be a member of the Yellow Ribbon Network and immediately networked with us. And they were very much involved and always wanting to know what they could do to help.
So then you teamed up and started collecting up socks for the Marine Corps.
We did, as well as some other personal items, personal care items. It was amazing the way the community just rallied around and just dropping off cash and saying, you know, I don't have time to shop, but very inspired by the article. Could you take this to defer costs for shipping? Could you buy the socks? And the family, Josh's family, was also very involved in helping packaging of all the items and filling out customs forms and helping with the final taping of the boxes and getting them sent off.
Donna, did you ever dream that you were going to be helping to collect socks for Marine Corps troops serving overseas?
Absolutely not. But what needs to be done, we will get done along with our businesses. It was the pack and mail generously accepted all of these socks and other items, and Patty was responsible for also handling the shipping. And for us to get the word out, as well as we had a couple of other situations going on with collection sites separate from this at the same time, but this was the biggest one because the need was incredible that they wanted dry socks.
Dry socks is an important thing when you're serving overseas.
It is.
Patty, it's my understanding that you can't just take and put together gift socks or gift boxes and send them. You have to have names to send them to. How did you get that done?
Well, initially, we were going to just send them to Josh directly. And he actually spoke with his mother and said, you know, Mom, there's some individuals here who don't receive mail or packages. Would it be possible to address the boxes to those individuals and leave them in charge of dividing up all the contents and sharing of all the contents? So Josh designated 8 individuals from his units to receive those packages. He himself wasn't the recipient of one of the packages.
So did the Woodbury community and the Yellow Ribbon Network help chip in towards the mailing costs?
They offered. They came right forward and offered. And we usually take on a cause each Christmas, and this was our way of giving back. And felt so compelled. The Hansen family is such an amazing family, and the banners that they brought with Josh's pictures just drew you in even more, especially the live pictures of him and his unit in combat, you know, trudging through knee-high water. So that was our personal donation. That was just something we felt compelled to do.
Patty, I understand the Woodbury Pack and Mail has a great discount for military personnel. Can you tell us about that and also about your connection to the military?
Yes, we offer free packaging for any military personnel, And we also honor the postal service rate of APO shipping. My own connection, my father was a Vietnam veteran who was shot down in a helicopter and survived. And while I had grown up hearing all the stories of his service, for some reason, seeing the pictures of Josh and being such a young man and seeing his family and how heartfelt every action they took was, it kind of struck home, and definitely it's inspired me to appreciate more of the service that my father was involved in.
Patty, your volunteerism is remarkable, and great work on the Socks for Troops. Donna, we've just got a couple of minutes left. Can you give us a sneak peek? What's coming up for the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network next?
We have several things going on right now that we are working on, and some of it came because of the Socks for Soldiers program that Patty took on, in that we want to do things more than just at the holiday time. Their needs are throughout the year. So we're hoping to be able to designate several drop sites based upon requests from our military personnel and their families in different locations throughout the city of Woodbury around Veterans Day and around Memorial Day. As well as we have our employment mentoring program going, and we're going to be having a yellow ribbon race, which will be a marathon race for our troops coming up. So we have several things going on besides the day-to-day things we do to take care of the families when they're in need.
And Donna, for our listeners that are out there, if they want to get involved, where do they go?
We are one of the few yellow ribbon cities who try to make it very easily accessible for you to get a hold of us for whatever you need. If you want to volunteer, if you need some assistance, we do have a website. It's www.woodburyyellowribbon.com.
And is there a phone number they could call? How do they get involved? What do you need? Volunteers, families?
We will accept volunteers. Families who need assistance, they can certainly go online and sign up. There is a phone number that is accessible, which is 651-353-7671, and we will put out the call for assistance if needed. And again, all families' names, addresses, requests will all be kept confidential, but we will get it done for them if we can.
Donna, you and Patty and your Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network are carrying on Dick's work and doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Donna Smith Safford, co-chair of the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network, and Patty DeLander, owner of the Woodbury Pack and Mail. The small gesture went a long way, and Sergeant Benjamin Lentz made sure to express his appreciation. After receiving the early Christmas presents and sharing them with his soldiers, Benjamin wrote back to the business that sent packages. Benjamin wrote, "To whom it may concern, I recently received 5 packages from the American Inn located in Waconia, my hometown. The packages were loaded with stuff from businesses and a few families in the area. I'm writing to thank you for the packages and let you know that we appreciate the gifts. We'll continue to use the stuff, especially the toiletries. I'm sure not a single guy will have to buy that stuff for a long time. The fact that the food was somewhat healthy was a big hit as well. I hope this email gets out to all the families and businesses that helped out put the packages together. I want them to know all their hard work did not go unseen and that the packages made it to us unscathed. Thanks again, Sergeant Benjamin Lentz." Thank you to American and the families and businesses that helped get Benjamin and his buddies an early Christmas gift and going Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To learn how you can help make a difference in the lives of our deployed service members, find the Make a Difference button at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next, we'll learn about programs and services available at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
January marks my first anniversary as your Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Past year has been a steep learning curve for me as I acclimated to the vast number of issues and needs of our veteran community and what they face. I am often asked, how do you like it? My answer has always been, I love it. I have been very impressed with the dedication, leadership, and commitment of our veteran service organizations. We are already near a month into 2012, and I would like to take a minute to look forward into the future. One of my goals is to focus on one of the most pressing issues facing us, the return of our newest veterans. The wars are winding down, the exit strategies have been made, and the Veterans Administration and Department of Defense are already looking for large budget cuts. Historically, the above signs have forecasted a reduction in force, in which means the military downsizes and a flood of veterans return home. This means many of our nation's heroes will be sent home with little or no fanfare. Personally, I get flashbacks of post-Vietnam, a tight job market, and a general population that wants to focus on other issues. Several of my goals focus around this theme, bring them all the way home. I hope you will rally around this theme and help bring each and every veteran all the way home.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is Brad Lindsay, Senior Director of Programs and Services for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Brad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Brad, I understand you're a veteran. Can you tell us a little bit about your military experience?
Yes, sir. I originally was in the regular Army as a military policeman back in the late 80s, early 90s. Was out for a couple years, went back into the Army Reserves, and got snagged up right before I got out and spent a year in Iraq as a military policeman in 2003 and 2004.
They caught you and you got deployed.
That's right.
But it looks like you survived that really well.
I did. Came out good and glad to be here.
And Brad, when you came back, then you got involved in veteran services.
Well, actually, when I joined the reserves, I was already working in veteran services for this department for 6 years. And then I was deployed overseas and then came back.
Okay, and part of that time, you were the Olmsted County Veteran Service Officer, CVSO.
Right. After I returned from Iraq, I spent a few more months with the department, then I went to Olmsted County as a service officer, correct?
Now, the CVSO, the County Veteran Service Officers, mm-hmm. There's at least one in every county of the 88 counties.
There's one in all 87 minimum. Bigger ones have several, usually.
Okay. And that's the first access point for veterans if they have anything they want to talk about, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the front door. They can help any veteran or veteran's family member with any program the state or federal VA has.
So what type of issues do the veterans come to you with, and how do you help them if you're a CVSO?
The two biggest things usually are health care, especially we're seeing a lot with our Vietnam veterans as they retire and realize what their health care costs are going to be until Medicare kicks in some cases. They're interested in getting into the VA health care system. Second biggest issue is usually disabilities that they may have incurred when they were in the service, and helping them with compensation for those disabilities.
I'm curious. I am a Vietnam veteran, but my buddies from Vietnam, mm-hmm. kind of got away from the military as fast as we could because it was a bad time.
Right.
And nobody ever talked to us about injuries or problems or issues. Are a lot of those folks coming back in now, and did they have the same experience? They just didn't talk to the...
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Really, there was no focus on outreaching to veterans until, you know, basically the current war, where everybody at all levels has really tried to ramp up that awareness and get people connected where they need to be connected. Your Vietnam, World War II, Korea vets, a lot of times World War II vets are just now coming in for assistance after, you know, 60 years.
And I suppose nobody ever asked them if they needed anything.
Exactly.
So they didn't come.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And Brad, now you are Senior Director of Programs and Services. Can you tell me what that means?
Well, basically, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has two sides to it. It has the Veterans Homes, and it has the Programs and Services Division. So basically, I'm under the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services. I'm in charge of everything that's not a veterans home within Minnesota. Things like our claims outreach divisions, tribal service officers, higher education, and our veterans cemetery.
Is higher education a big issue the last few years with all of our reserve and guard troops coming back?
It is. I believe it was 2006 that program was newly developed because of the need on college campuses for veterans to find assistance and direction in dealing with their educational benefits from the VA, and then also providing another resource to them to find their way around our other services, like our compensation, pension, things like that.
And Brad, I see on the list here that the cemeteries is one of the items. I understand we're trying to create some new state veteran cemeteries. Is that true?
That's right. Right now we have for several years had one in Little Falls, right next to Camp Ripley. We are approved for one in southeastern Minnesota right now, and we actually have land that's being donated by the county in Fillmore County near Preston. So within the next 2 years, I think we'll have that up and running again.
Our guard troops come from armories all over the state, and, of course, our veterans, 381,000 of them, are all over the state. So
right.
I would guess the new locations are to have the cemeteries closer to where they had lived.
Absolutely, right. Like I said, we have Little Falls, and then the National Cemetery, of course, is in the cities of Fort Snelling. When I was the Olmsted County service officer, we didn't see a lot of demand for either one of those facilities because of the distance. Families want to be close to their loved ones when they pass, so that's going to be a big deal to get one in there in southeast Minnesota.
Brad, we got about a minute left before we have to take a break, but you're also involved in the CORE, C-O-R-E program?
Right. We have a collaboration basically with Minnesota Lutheran Social Services to provide counseling, outreach, referral, and education programs to our veterans, and that's a contracted thing. It's just kind of a gap filler. Sometimes the VA is not where someone wants to go because they may have had issues there in the past, and this gives them a good option for that.
Well, Brad, we have to take a short break, but we'll be back with Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to talk about veterans claims right after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're talking to Brad Lindsay, Senior Director of Programs and Services at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Brad, if our listeners want to contact you, where do they go?
The best way is we have a website, www.minnesotaveteran.org, and we also have a phone line that is manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's 888-LINK-VET. 546-5838.
And Brad, one of the first things we talked about in the prior segment was claims and outreach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, can you walk us through when you're CVSO and now in your current position,
sure,
a claim? If you find a veteran that's got some kind of issue, what's the process?
Sure. I'll give you our most common seen claim is a claim for hearing loss and tinnitus. It's a really huge issue with veterans due to, you know, military noise exposure from weapons, fires, aircraft, all those sorts of things. What the veteran should do is start with their county veteran service officer and just let them know they'd like to file a claim for hearing loss or tinnitus. The service officer will walk through and kind of talk about other issues with them as well to see if there's anything else that they might not even think of that is related to their service that could be claimed. They'll go ahead and fill out all the paperwork, which is, you know, no more than about a half hour's worth of paperwork, which is pretty short for VA standards. And
that'll be eligible. They have to be honorably discharged and have a DD-214.
Absolutely. And that's the most important thing, is making sure they know where that 214 is and bringing it in along with them to the interview with their service officer. They're going to basically discuss what kind of noise they were exposed to. They're going to get down all their service information, like I said, complete the paperwork. Then they're going to file it, and generally it will come to an intermediary then, our department's claims office or one of the other organizations like Disabled American Veterans or the VFW. And they will then submit it on into the VA, who will then schedule. I should say first they'll get their records and verify their service and things like that, and then they will schedule them for any necessary exams. In this case, they'd test their hearing, and they'd go in and talk to the doctor about the ringing they have in their ears from the tinnitus. Doctor gives an opinion. All that goes back to the VA then, and a VA rating specialist, as they call it, looks at all the evidence and decides yay or nay, and then a decision is mailed out to the veteran and to the service officer.
Now, typically, how long does that take? Is it one of those things where we're going to be 20 years older when it's done, or is this happen pretty quick now?
Well, in Minnesota, we're pretty fortunate, and it depends a little bit on the type of claim. A common hearing loss tinnitus claim right now takes about 2 to 3 months. They're getting sometimes an exam scheduled before they even get the first letter acknowledging the claim from the VA. So they've really gotten on the ball with that. But other things are quite a bit more complicated, and they can take a year or so.
We're speaking with Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Newstalk, AM 1130. Brad, I've gone out to the VA hospital. I had some problems with Agent Orange and type 2 diabetes and so forth.
Sure.
It's a fantastic facility, and looks like it's first class to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion of the Minneapolis VA hospital?
I have the same. As a state employee, I have pretty good insurance with Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and I have never used it. I use the VA hospital in Minneapolis for all of my care, and couldn't be happier with them. Couldn't be happier. They're professional, polite, and courteous, and it works well.
Seemed like they really care, too.
Absolutely.
Brad, the other part of what we started out talking about was claims and outreach. Can you tell me, what is the veterans outreach? What's that portion of your position at the MDVA?
Well, it's been discovered over the years that certain groups are more underserved than others, your Native American veterans, your veterans of color, and it's really the goal of our outreach division to seek out those underserved veterans and make sure that they're getting the same benefits and entitlements that everyone else is that they're entitled to.
And so do you spend some time, not just the current veterans, but you've indicated you're talking to World War II veterans, Vietnam, all the wars.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no bounds to it. Like I said, every day World War II veterans come forward for the first time. So it's just a whole mix.
Seems like a shame, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's a shame they've waited so long.
Brad, we're just coming down to the last few seconds here. Any final thoughts from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and where can our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, if you haven't seen your CVSO and you are a veteran, you should definitely do so. And like I said earlier, we're always available at our Link Vet line, which is the 888-LINK-VET, and at minnesotaveteran.org.
Brad, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for your service.
Thank you. That was Brad Lindsay, Senior Director of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And now, from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, joining us is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good morning.
I understand you've got an announcement to make for us today.
Well, I do, and it's been an interesting, few months of searching and talking and convincing and selling and bribing and wheedling, but we have a new state captain to announce, and I'm just so, so proud. Carla Richardson from Wadena has agreed to become our new state captain for the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
And can you explain to us what that position is, Doug?
That position really is the leader and kind of the keeper of the mission for 6,000 of our members across the state. That person is responsible for all the mission execution and making sure that, we stay on task and on scope, and, that the things get caught that have to be caught. And if we have jump balls we have to call, then the state captain gets involved in it, as well as then doing a lot of the interaction with the National Patriot Guard riders and working with the state captains and the states that surround us. So it's a big job. It's a big job, and I'm just so, so proud that Carlos agreed to do it.
Well, you of all people know how big the job was. You were captain for how long?
Well, I had the job for 3 years, and I've been helping out over the last year, and I'm just tickled. Carla's experiences, Tom, are way more than mine. Carla was in the United States Army for 21 years. She retired as an E-7 Sergeant First Class, and I believe she spent about 10 years in working for NATO over in Europe. What she does now is she's a job counselor for low-income adults, and she's also working in youth job skills training. So she's nothing but a giver, Tom, and a good leader. And you know how NCOs are. They're the biggest supporter of their soldiers, and they're the harshest critics and taskmasters, and they just have that knack of knowing how to do that.
Well, if you've got a big job to fill, well, we all know you've got to find a good sergeant to do it, and you do with the three very important words you have to stay up on top of: honor, dignity, and respect.
And respect, absolutely. You know, it's kind of a neat story. Her family, Tom, is a military family. Carla, obviously, as I said, had 21 years. Her dad met her mom at Fort Belvoir in Virginia. Her grandfather was the post sergeant major out there. So, I mean, they have got Army running through the blood of that family. So, but it's really important, I think, you know, for Carla and for the people who serve, you know, in the Patriot Guard and are of service, I should say. We're not serving, we're of service. And, you know, it's important to know you've got a leader who has empathy and a leader who's fair and balanced and reasonable and is willing to sit and give you a hug, and as well as give you that look that says, you know, it's time to sit down and think about how you're acting. And Carla's been very instrumental in our relationship with some groups in Canada, the Canadian Army Vets and the Canadian Vietnam Vets Association. And she's been pretty much responsible for getting 40 of them come down for a Patriot Ride here in June every year.
Well, I'm glad you found someone strong enough to fill that role. Doug, can you tell our listeners again who's eligible to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Well, anyone is eligible, Tom. We have no requirements. You do not have to be a veteran. You do not have to have a motorcycle. You just need a 3x5 flag and a pole and a willingness to show your respect for those who are currently serving and those who have served. And you can easily join us by going to www.mmpatriotguard.org, all one word, and click join us on the left-hand side. And all you need is an email address and a zip code. It's important. You know, we've got coming up in February, we call them meet and greets, and it's a lot of social days and an opportunity to meet the ride captains for the area in a more fun setting. And it's, well, we'd love to see you. If you have questions about the Patriot Guard, it's a great opportunity to take a look at our calendar and the mission calendar and see what we got going on.
Doug, as usual, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for all of your services.
Thanks, Doug. In upcoming events, you can join Fishing for Life for a fun ice fishing contest honoring the armed forces and their families. There will be prizes, food and fun, activities for kids, not to mention great fishing. The tournament will be Saturday, February 4th from 12 to 3 p.m. on Medicine Lake in Plymouth. We posted a link to more information on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio Hour. While you're there, be sure to help two of our favorite organizations, the Armed Forces Service Center at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport and Defending the Blue Line, need your vote in the Joining Forces Community Challenge Contest. That's all at facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Donna Smith Stafford and Patty DeLander from the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network, Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Commissioner Larry Shalado from the MDVA, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on Minnesota Military Radio, where one of the few remaining Tuskegee Airmen will share his story, and we'll hear the latest on the deployment of airmen of the 934th Airlift Wing. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.